Okay, today's daf is Samach Bet. We'll start about 10 lines from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan. B'nei Yisrael menifim ve'en ovdei kochavim menifim. B'nei Yisrael menifim ve'en hanashim menifot. Okay, this is based on the pasuk about the hanafa of the shlamim. And it says, Dabero B'nei Yisrael. So they say B'nei Yisrael, not non-Jews, B'nei Yisrael, and not women. And we did this yesterday. I'm just going to pick up from here. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Matzinu Shechilek HaKatu Ben Korban Yisrael Korban Avdei Kochavim. We see that there's a distinction between the Jews' Korban Avdei Kochavim and the Korban Nashim B'Smicha, that there's no smicha by the Korban of women. Yachol Nachlok B'Tnufa. Should we say, just like there's no smicha for women in Korbanot, they don't have to put their hands on the animal when it's still alive, we might have thought also they don't have to wave. Just because we distinguish in smicha, that's because smicha is done by the baalim, and that's why the women are patuot. But in tnufa, that the tnufa is done by the kohanim, we're not going to necessarily distinguish, because we can say the women, and this is what we talked about before, the women are chayavot to wave, they're obligated. However, the kohen does it for them. I mentioned that maybe the husband could do it, but I look back again, I thought I saw it somewhere, but I didn't see it anywhere now. It seems just the kohen does it for her. Okay, normally the kohen and the baalim do it. In this case, the kohen does it for her. There was a bit of I did see a discussion about if the kohen does it for her, or we'll see that there's other people the kohen could do it on their behalf. Do two kohenim do it? Because one kind of acts as the shaliach of the other. Or do you just need the kohen to do it? You no longer need both people to do it. It would depend on whether you view the kohen as a shaliach, as a messenger of that person, or whether you say there's just no chiyuv, in other words, as soon as the person can't be there, so you don't really need the person to be there. And therefore, one kohen could do it. Im ken, ma tamad lomar b'nei Yisrael. So if it just says b'nei Yisrael, and women are part of tnufa, so then why does it say b'nei Yisrael? So they conclude, b'nei Yisrael menifim ve'en ovdei kochavim menifim. B'nei Yisrael menifim ve'en anashim menifot. So they say, right, non-Jews don't wave, and also the women don't wave. Even though they're chayavot to wave, they just don't do it. Tanya Idach, here's another bright to the Darshan's B'nai Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael, ein li ela B'nai Yisrael. Geirim v'avadim mishuchorim minayin. Where do we know that converts and Jews who are slaves who are redeemed, these are Canaanite slaves, Canaanite slaves who get a brit milah when they become your slave, they're chayav and mitzvot, not mitzvot asei shasman grama, but as soon as they get released, they become Jewish. So, what'd you say?
Because they didn't get released.
You're not supposed to release them, but if for whatever reason they were released, you're not supposed to release non-Jewish slaves, but there is such concept of an Eved Meshuchrar. If they are released for some reason, then they're Chayavim in Mitzvot, they're full-fledged Jews. Now, why are they not B'nai Yisrael? Because B'nai Yisrael means you were born into it. So Geirim and Avadim Shachorim would be excluded. How do you know that they're included and they're treated just like all Jews for these purposes, for waving? Talmud Lamar HaMakriv. Because it says in that Pasuk, Tabareo B'nai Yisrael HaMarat Alehem, HaMakriv Et, I forget the words, but HaMakriv Et. It goes on there. Okay, so they call him HaMakriv. So what do you see there? That includes whoever's Makriv. But now they say, no, O'eno el azek kohena makriv. Maybe the makriv is actually the kohen who's working to do the sacrifice. So how do you know it's not? Because kashuhu omer yadav to be enu et ishei Hashem. This is the next pasuk, which is his hands bring it. Who's bringing it? Hare ba'alim amor. We already learned this. That's referring to the ba'alim. Haketzad. So how could it be? We're both talking about the kohen and the baalim. This again, as we saw this before, but this is just another brayta. Kohen miniach yadav tachi ide baalim umeinif. And as you have two people, both the kohen and the owner, and that's how you do the waving. Ketzad ose. How exactly is this done? Miniach imurim al pisat hayad. Okay, so what do you do? Now we're getting even more detail. You put the imurim, okay, those are the parts of, remember, we're talking about a korban shlamim of an individual. You take the imurim, those are the fats that are meant to be burnt on the mizbeach. You put it on his hand. V'chazeh v'shok alehem. Now we're learning which goes on top of which. First the imurim, then the parts that go to the kohen. ובכל מקום שיש לחם, הלחם מלמעלה. And then, the lechem on the top. It almost sounds like you could think, assume, the bottom one is going to be kind of the most important, because it's the first one that goes on, so that's the part that goes to God. Then the part that goes to the Kohen, right? And then the breads, which get eaten.
So bread after it was on top of one meat.
No, so, right. Well, it's not, right, it's true. It's on top of raw meat. It's a little disgusting. No, it's not cooked yet.
But you would eat it after the meat is cooked, right? But the bread has already touched raw meat.
Right, the bread has touched the raw meat. I don't think they were so concerned about those things. But it's interesting to think about. Let's not think too much about this. So the lechem goes above. Now, this, remember, there's not lechem in many of the korbanot, right? So now they're going to say, where do we see? Remember lechem we talked about in the Shnei Kivsei Atzeret, where there you have the bread on top of the live animals. That's not as bad as the raw, I guess. So now they're saying, Heicha, where exactly do you have bread on top of the imurim and the chazev shok? Amara, Papa b'miluim. He says, in the miluim, okay, when they did, remember the miluim, that's in the dedication of the Mishkan, there were special korbanot they would bring, and that's in Vayikra. It starts, that's Parshat Shmini, Vayihi b'yom ha-shmini. Okay, it starts earlier, but in Perek, right, Rashi says Perek Chet. It says, right, what's that? Where's that pasuk? Perek Chet. Right, it says you take the matzot. Let me just find it. Which pasuk is it? 26. Okay. Umisal ha-matzot asher lefnei Hashem, lakach chalat matzah achat, v'chalat lechem shemen achat, v'rakik echad. Okay, you take one of each of those. V'yasem al ha-chalavim v'al shok ha-yemin. And then he brings it. Va'yitein et hakol ha-kapei Aaron v'al kapei banav, v'yanef otam tnufa lefnei Hashem. Okay, so there you have it, that you put the bread on top of these items. But now we say, my time. What's the reason? Now we're going to see all sorts of psukim that seem to contradict each other. In Vayikra Yud, it says, Shoka truma v'chazeh tnufa ali sheh chalavim yaviyu la'anif tnufa. If you want to say that the reason why you do, or the based on the psukim, forget about it, I kind of gave a reason, that was my own thinking, but the reason why you put the chelav milamata, right, the imurim, then the shok, and then the bread, is because it says here, shok ha-truma v'chazeh tnufa, right, the shok and the chazeh, al isheh ha-chalavim, it goes on top of the chelav, yaviyu la'niv tnufa, should be brought to be waved. But the haktiv, it says, in Pasuk Zayin, I'm sorry, in Perek Zayin, where it talks about, not the miluim, but when it talks about the shlamim, the classic pasuk we keep bringing, Yadav Tevienu Et Yishe Hashem. Okay, what does it say? Et HaChelev Al HaChazeh Yivienu. Et HaChazeh LaHanifoto Tnufa Lefnei Hashem. So what does it say? The Chelev goes on top of the Chazeh, right? It should be brought for Tnufa. So there you have the opposite order. So they now say, so Et HaChelev Al HaChazeh Yivienu. Amar Abaye, Hahu D'maitele Kohen Mi Beit HaMitbachayim. What does that mean? When it says that Techelev al Chazeh Yivienu, it's the Kohen who brings it from the Beit HaMitbachayim. Remember that, what that was? You can look at the map. We still have it up from yesterday. Those were all the rings that were next to the Mizbeach where they would slaughter the animals. They had the rings that would hold down the animal for slaughtering purposes. When you take it from the Beit HaMitbachayim, and you bring it. That's why we noted that pasuk was it say yivienu. It doesn't say yinifenu. It says yivienu l'hanif tnufa. So when he brings it in that order. And then what happens, right? It's classic. You think about a cake. You try to take a cake out of a pan. What do? First you turn it upside down, and then you turn it the other way. So when he gives it to the other kohen, he flips it. That's beramele. He flips it over. Okay. So when yivienu, it's that way. Then he flips it. Then they say, wait, but that still doesn't make sense because v'haktiv. So that's, we understand you take it from the Beit HaMitbachayim, you flip it onto there, onto the hands of the next Kohen. He then waves it, and then what happens? You bring it to the Mizbeach and you burn it. Presumably there should be no more flipping. Now it says, v'haktiv v'yasimu et ha-chalavim al ha-chazot. But it says in Perek Tet, when it's talking again about the Miluim, it says, וישימו את החלבים על החזות, so the chalav goes on the chazeh, ויקטר החלבים המזבחה, and then you burn them. So when it comes to the burning, it's again flipped. So how could it be flipped again? So what do they answer? You bring it to a different kohen. In other words, one kohen brings it from the Beit HaMitbachayim to do the hanafa. Then, remember the hanafa we said was on the Mizrach, or could be in the Mizrach. Then from there, he gives it to another kohen and he flips it back to the way it was originally, which is the chazeh is on the bottom and the chalev is on the top. And then he burns it on the, and then he brings the chalev to burn on the mizbech. So now he brings it to a third one and he flips it. And what is all this coming to teach you? Why are the psukim telling us that? In what they're saying is underlying the psukim is that they're telling you that one has to give to another coin, and then that coin has to give to another coin to bring it to burn. So what did they learn? To be inan shlosha koanim. And why do you need three koanim? Mishum dichtiv berov am hadrat melech. And it teaches you this concept, which is a nice concept that it's more glorified for God the more people you involve. I just think of that. There's always this, people always struggle with this when you have a project to do, and it's always easier to just do things yourself sometimes, right? It's less, you're always worried maybe there'll be a mistake. I know how to do things, and delegating is not always so simple. People don't always do it the way you want. And here it's saying the opposite. You really have to include everybody, even if it might be difficult, and you might think, oh, I want it, and here all the more so, if you remember Yoma, there's this whole, with the goralot, everybody wanted to do things, and there was this, religious fervor to, I want to do it, and you have to share it. You can't take it all for yourself. It didn't work out so well. Well, that's why they instituted the goralot, so that, you know, right, it was the fighting and the, exactly. And here it's saying, get as many people involved as possible, and that's the better way to do it. Okay, shtei alechem v'shnei kivsei atzeret. They were the next ones on our list that get waived. Tana Rabbanan, v'heinif ha-kohen otam al lechem ha-bikurim. Okay, this is about the shtei alechem and the shnei kivsei atzeret, right? So we have our two basim and the shtei alechem, so it says there, we're going to quote a brayta now. It says, "Heinif haKohen otam al lechem abikurim." Otam is the animals on the lechem abikurim. Yachol yaniach kvasim agabei lechem. What did we say before? The lechem's always on top, but now, according to this pasuk, it sounds like wave them on the lechem abikurim. It sounds like the order should be the reverse. The kvasim should be on top of the bread. Tamud lomar. But wait, the rest of the pasuk says, Alechem abikurim, okay, that's the first part of the pasuk. And then it says, Tnufa lifnei Hashem, al shnei kvasim, kodesh yul Hashem lakohen. There it says, right, wave the kvasim on the lechem, on the two kvasim, right? So there's something, it doesn't, right? It's a bit of a problematic pasuk. Al shnei kvasim, yachol lechem agabei kvasim, right? If you take the second part of the pasuk, it sounds like the bread goes on top. Tamud lomar, alechem abikurim. Right, so then it tells you, oh no, al lechem abikurim from the beginning of the pasuk seems to indicate the lechem is on the bottom. Nishtakel katuv ve'eni yodea im lechem agabei kvasim im kvasim agabei lechem. Right, the pasuk is an interesting lashon. Nishtakel, it's kind of I don't know how you would do, how did they define, what's the word they use? It's weighted. It's like a weighted die. Right, it's weighted in both directions. Okay, like that's what like mishkal from weighted. So it's weighted in both directions, and I don't know, right, the author of the Brayta says, I don't know which way it goes. So what's the best way to figure it out? Mamatzinu b'chol makom lechem lemala. Since we have a principle that in all other places, whenever there's bread, the bread goes on top. Av kan lechem lemala. So now again they ask, Heicha, where is it so obvious? Just like we asked earlier, and we have the same answer. Amara papa b'miluim. Right there it says specifically the bread goes on top. That's one opinion. Rabbi Yossi ben HaMeshulam omer, kvasim lemala. Okay, he says the kvasim go on top. Okay, I just want to point out structurally what happened here. There was a braita. There was a break in the braita, which was just to tell you where else does it say. In other words, the braita said, and since it's always lechem lemala, here also lechem lemala. So then the Gemara stopped for a minute to tell you, well, where else, where does this come up? Or a papa tells you, oh, in the miluim. Now they go back to the bright, and we have a second opinion of a Tana. Rabbi Yosef ben HaMeshulam says, Kvasim lemala. Okay, so the first opinion was Lechem lemala. The second is Kvasim lemala. We're going to see a bunch of, right, you might think there's only two options, but we're going to see there's actually, I think, four options, okay, if you can try to figure out how that could be. kvasim lemala, uma ani mekayem al shnei kvasim. So why does it say on the shnei kvasim? If you remember, there's more than two kvasim that you bring with the lechem, with the shtei lechem. Remember, you bring two kvasim, but you also bring, among other korbanot, you bring a bunch of korbanot la'ola, and among those korbanot you bring la'ola, remember this par, I forget it, the par I think in two elim, or I forget if it's two elim and a par, I think it's a par and two elim, and then you bring seven kvasim. So what it's trying to tell you is the hanafa is done al shnei kvasim and not on the seven kvasim that are done la'ola. These two kvasim are done shlamim. All the other korbanot were korbanot ola. It's not done with the ola, you only do it with the shnei kvasim.
You lift both of them?
You lift the two kvasim with the two breads on top of it.
All at once?
All at once, yeah. It's right, and the breads were very big. Anyone who went to that workshop in the Shomron, bread workshop, you saw they were very large, and you had these two kvasim. So yeah, and you can see maybe why they didn't want the women doing the hanafah.
You need more than one kohen to do this at a time?
Yeah.
The hanafah isn't over the head.
Right, it's not. It's so just lifting it up a little.
You
could do
it,
you have to be careful. The bread didn't break, also, right?
Seven in six directions. It's not just
right. Either four or six.
And
we'll
you're
see.
Balancing the bread on top because you have
so
another.
It's not so easy. It's not an easy. Right, they didn't list that as one of the complicated. Exactly. Okay. So what is he? So he says lahotzi shiva. Right to tell you. Right, al here doesn't mean literally on top of. It means with. Right, like with the shnei kvasim, and that's that you do it with them, in, or it's really designating which kvasim. That's number two. Number three, Chanina ben Chachinai Omer. Notice he's mentioned without Rabbi Chanina ben Chachinai. Okay, I'm pretty sure he's the one who was mentioned also in some negative story about him. I think it was ben Chachinai that there's the famous story of Rabbi Akiva when he goes to learn Torah and he leaves his wife, and you know, and. And there's and it's always looked at as a very positive thing, but alongside it, there's a story, and I'm almost positive it was Rabbi Chanina ben Chachinai, who leaves his wife and doesn't like disconnects entirely with his family, and his kid's trying to get married, and he doesn't come, and they basically like it's a big critique about leaving your house to go learn for many many years, and that it's not always looked at positively. It depends how you do it. I'm pretty sure it's him. I hope I'm right. But anyway, here also we're going to see that they're a little bit disparaging about him, and they don't even call him Rebbe. Chanina ben Chachinai omer, meniach shtei alechem bein yarchotehen shel kvasim umenif. Okay, so you have, he says you do the in-between, where both the lechem is on top of the kvasim, and the kvasim are on top of the lechem. How so? Put it in between the two legs of the animal. Okay? Now, you can maybe figure out already why they're not so happy about this. That way, everyone's happy. I'm a Rebbe. Lifnei melech basar v'adam eino simken. Lifnei melech malchei amlachim akadosh baruch hu simken. What a disrespectful thing to put something in between the two legs of the... You would never do that before a king. Of course you wouldn't do that before God. And therefore, opinion number four comes Rebbe, and he says, Ela miniach ze betzad ze umenif. He puts one next to the other and he waves them. Now that's a strange shita. V'habi inan al. Doesn't it say you need on one? At least one should be on top of the other. Now let's choose one or the other. Amar le Rav Chista le Rav Hamnuna. V'amar le Rav Hamnuna le Rav Chista. Right, we're already out of the Braita and we're trying to figure out this opinion of Rebbe, which seems quite strange. So now they come and explain. Either Rav Chista said to Rav Hamnuna or Rav Hamnuna said to Rav Chista. Rebbe le ta'ameh amar al basamuch. Rebbe goes l'shitato, because in other places Rebbe also describes al means next to, and al doesn't necessarily mean on top of. So therefore, al akvasim and al lechem b'habikurim, they explain as next to. D'tanya, v'natata al ha-marechet levona zakah, Rebbe omer al b'samuch. The marechet was, there were two marachot of the lechem apanim, there were a set of shelves, for six on one side, six on the other side. By each one, if you remember, there were the two bezichei levona. By each one, you would put, it says, v'natata al ha-marechet. So the question is, do you mean on the shelves or next to the shelves? You put the frankincense. So Rebbe says, al means next to. You don't put it on the shelves, you put it next to the shelves. Atal mer b'samucho eno ela al mamash. How do you know that al is b'samuch? Maybe it means really on top of. So he brings another proof. Keshu omer b'sakota al ha-aron et ha-parochet. Okay, when you put on the aron, the parochet, Right? Now, what would you have thought? It sounds like from the pshat, you put the parochet, the covering to the aron, on top of the aron. Hevei omer al besamuch. But here, clearly, the parochet was meant to divide between the aron and the, right? So it was a divider, which means it goes in front of the way we have parochet on the aron kodesh, right? We all can visualize that. It's on top, it's next to, it's not on top of, it doesn't go on the top of the aron.
Also, like, I wonder what's so disrespectful about this guy's proposal. It makes a lot of sense, because if you're waving these two lambs, put the bread in the middle, it seems like it would...
Well, no, it's not in between the two lambs. The two lambs, I assume what he means is, they're lying on their sides, and what you do is you put the bread in between their legs. What's the problem? In between the legs is where the genitals are. Like, it's just not...
Uh-huh.
In between the legs has a connotation of sexuality. So I think because of that, that's what's bothering them. Even with lambs, I think that's just their... I think that's when they heard him say it. You know, that's the way I read it. Could be, you know, I'm reading into it, but that's what I understood. Like, in between the legs, that's...
Actually, if you hold the lamb upside down, it's sort of efficient because the bread is less likely to fall off if it's...
Right, but then it's not. But then it's lying on its belly. It's not.
I know. It doesn't
on one is not on the other at all. Then it's just in the middle of. It's not. No, it's one. What they wanted was, you know, the way I visualized it was the lamb's on its side. Let you know, part of the leg is on top, part of the leg is on the bottom, and the bread's in the middle. So it resolves all your issues. But you know, it's also, you know, there's always this approach. Are you better off going with an approach that resolves all the, you know, sides, which actually often we do side with, which is why I think you're saying, Sherry, it's a good suggestion. On the other hand, you're not doing, it could be you're not doing it right at all. It's either supposed to be one or the other. Are you better off doing a 50-50, right, like a, where you're, but you end up not really doing anything, which actually often is in halacha, often happens, where we take different shitot that actually contradict each other and we combine them. So it's not a crazy thought, but I think it was the inappropriateness. Exactly right. They're discussing.
They're just instructions for the future. Yes. Okay. Molichu mevi maleu morid. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Molichu mevi lemisha haruchot shelo. This I made reference to before.
We're going to see your molichu mevi. Why forward and backwards? Because you're showing the winds. It's the directions. Okay. The ruchot or shelo. Maleu morid lemisha shamayim va'aretz shelo. Okay, the first opinion is brought is the reason why we do these wavings is to say, right, we're bringing this korban to God, God who the directions and the winds go to him, and the winds kind of go in different directions. That's on this plane. And then Maleu Morid, top and bottom, up and down, is Shamayim Va'aretz. B'ma'arava matnu hachi. In Eretz Yisrael, they said it differently. Amar Rav Chama Bar Ukva, Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Rabbi Chanina, molichu mevi kedei la'atzor ruchot ra'ot, ma'aleu mori kedei la'atzor tzlalim ra'im. It was a ceremonial ritual, let's say. It was a ritual in order to say, we don't want any bad winds. And as he agrees that molichu mevi, it's on this plane, is relating to the directions, the ruchot, the winds. And that's kedei, in order to avoid bad winds. And maleu morid is in order to stop bad rains. Okay, now this is, right, the second one is a little bit more, right, the first one is more of a worship. We're worshiping God and we're addressing who's God and we're trying to show, we're bringing this to God who is all powerful. And the other one is really more like the way some of our prayers go, that they're focused toward getting good weather and all that, which is agricultural, right? We want this to be an agricultural thing. Also, remember, they're doing this on Chag Shavuot, which is the, you know, where the first wheats come out, the first sovereign come out, and, right, it's the Ketzir Chitim, right? The sovereign or the Omer, it's the Ketzir Chitim. Yeah, I was confused for a second. It's the Ketzir Chitim. And they, you know, they need good weather for the agricultural season. Am Rabbi Yossi Bar Rav Avin. Zot Omeret. What does this teach you? Shayarei mitzvot ma'agvin et hapuranut. We can see that even shayarei mitzvot that aren't essential, because we're going to see this isn't, if you don't do this, it's okay, right? You still yotze your korban. It's not one of the main things like this rikat adam, like the sprinkling of the blood. So what does he say here? We can see that even the less significant mitzvot can prevent bad things from happening. Dahat snufa shayre mitzvah, because snufa is a shayre mitzvah, ve'otzeret ruchot ra'otu t'lalim ra'im. Okay, and it can prevent bad things from happening to us. Amar Rabbah, Rabbah says, V'chein lulav. Okay, this is the famous where I said that we get all the mitzvot of lulav from here. The same procedure is done with the lulav. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, mimaitele umaitele, he would be molichu mevi, umachve hachi, and he would say like this, or he would point like this, v'amar, gira be'ene desitna. Okay, he would kind of like point it at the satan and say, out of here, like, look, you know, look at us. Look, and what he's trying to say is when they did we're talking about the lulav, I believe it's talking about the lulav, that he was saying, you know, look how we do mitzvot so happily and, you know, in your face. The lav miltihi, but you really shouldn't do this. Mishum da'ate l'itgaruye bay, because the satan, you know, if you kind of irk him, you don't want to get him worked up because he might come back at you. So you should beware of doing such a thing. Okay, before we move on, I want to just read a few sources, okay? I mentioned, and I just wanted to, like, read a source so you could see, the Avudraham, for example, talks about, he quotes, there's all, the Rush talks about this, and he quotes the Rush, and he says, HaRush katav, lo nahagu ha'olam kein, ela molichin la'arba ruchot, u'minhag kasherhu. Okay, there's a whole debate, do you do, when it says, l'misha ruchot shalom, ma'aleu molichu mevi, do you do, if we talk about the ruchot mean the directions. Do we do it all four directions or just forward and backwards? So some of Rishonim say forward and backwards includes mishashtei ruchot shelo, also arba ruchot shelo. In other words, once you're going forward and backwards, that includes all four ruchot. But then the Rush says, no, we do all four ruchot and minhag kasheru. Haktzara yameinu milahodot l'misha arba ruchot haolam shelo. He says, we're too aktsaraya meaning what we don't have enough time in our lives to actually do all four directions. Ubinhag acher hu chitzoni, and those who do otherwise is a bet like an outside minhag. It's a bad one. Rabbi Shon Shein he can hayat near elo shamolichu mevi ledala ruchot near ek kishtiva arev. Okay, that's the cross. Bechem minhag ogoyim lasop yidehem kain vehevel hu, and he says it explicitly. This is a minhag goyim. Okay, and it's Hevel who we shouldn't do it. And by the way, it's not just this a cross, but they have Palm Sunday where they waved palms. Okay, so it wasn't just, it looks like a cross. Like, you know, people say you shouldn't write a plus because it looks like a cross. No, they were, the Christians had this custom in Palm Sunday also to wave
already
their...
Already they had it?
Not in the time of the Gemara. This is the whole, what I was saying is the whole debate later was, what does the Gemara mean when it means you do it molichu mevi l'misha arba ruchot shelo? Does it mean just two, which it probably did at a certain point, but then once the Christians were doing it with their pampran, so we said we better do it somewhat differently because we don't want it to look like we're doing shtiva arev, and that appears in the sources here. Okay, it's definitely possible. Right, it's very likely. But still, we had to, exactly. That's what shows how these things develop. Okay, the Rush also brings some reasons. Dafki brings it by love, why we do these shakings. Okay, so I thought this was also interesting to read. The Rush on Sukkah says, it says in the Midrash, B'Rosh Hashanah ba'in l'din Yisrael v'umot ha'olam, ve'ein yodin miyetze zakai miyetze chayav. Okay, so in other words, on Rosh Hashanah, right, we're all judged. And therefore, Natan HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzvah zol Yisrael, shiyu smechim b'lulavahem ka'adam yotzei melifnei ha'shofet zakai, shiyu sameach, v'hainu dirtiv yiranenu atzei ya'ar. Okay, it connects it very nicely to the pasuk, yiranenu atzei ya'ar, that all the trees of the forest, it's in Tehillim, right, we say it all the time, yiranenu atzei ya'ar, that they're all praising God, right, they're all excited, kasher yotzu melifnei Hashem zakaim. Okay, so therefore, right, and b'mei yiranenu b'hodu b'hushiyana, and that's why when we say hodu Hashem ki tov, we shake the lulav in those points, because we're happy that we were judged favorably. Ravya brings a proof, he quotes from the Yerushalmi, that says, Lama minanea, mishum lenanea kochosho kategor. Okay, you want to get rid of, okay, this is a different reason, you want to get rid of the power of the prosecutor. To say, right, shake him away. Rav Acha bar Yaakov mimatele mimanele, and when he would be mivarech, and he would say, Gira be'ene desitna, right, that's our Gemara, but we shouldn't do that. And then the Rav Yah also wrote that really the main nianua that we do is when we do the bracha, but the nianua of hodu anana Hashem is just a regular nianua. In other words, he distinguishes, okay, and as on the one hand we're so happy that we were judged favorably. On the other hand, we have the source of the Yerushalmi that says it's to get rid of the kategor. So what does he say? He says there's a difference between the two nianuim that we do. When we say it for the bracha, we're happy that we were judged favorably. But the Anua of the Mishnah, when they asked in the Yerushalmi, why do we do this in the Anua, they were talking about the Hodul Hashem and the Hoshiana. And that's the one we do for the Kategor. Okay, so he makes this possible distinction that maybe the two Nianuim have different reasons. Okay, so moving on. Tana Rabbanan. Zivchei shalmei tzibor tu'unim tnufa la'achar shchita u'tnufatan kemot shehen, divrei Rebbe. Okay, I mentioned before there was a machloket in the Rishonim. I forgot. It was my mistake. It's actually a machloket of Tana'im. Okay, the zivchei shalmei tzibor that you bring after shchita. Remember, you bring the ones before shchita. You bring the animals live, that's with the bread. And then you bring them after shchita. So I said, right, the machloket rishonim related to do you do it with the breads or not. That's the machloket rishonim. But the machloket at Tanaim is about, do you bring the animal whole, and that's all the parts of the animal after shchita, all the animals still whole, or do you bring only the imurim and the chazev shok that you do in a normal korban shlamim? So according to the Rebbe, Tnufatan kemocheheim. It's exactly as they are, meaning whole. Chachamim omrim bechazev eshok. Okay, which he means not only chazev eshok, also the imurim. Okay, but what he means is it's like the regular korban shlamim at that point. There's no unique tnufa by the shtei alechem after. The unique tnufa is before shchita. After shchita, it's just like any korban shlamim. B'mai kamiflege. What's the root of their machloket? Again, the same thing. We don't know who said to who, and it's the same people we saw before. Bidon mina umina. Bidon mina, but okay, ba'atra kam b'flege. Their whole machloket is based on, we've seen this before, when you learn something out from something else, that's don mina, we learned it out from somewhere else. Do we learn mina umina? Do we learn it out from that thing, and then we learn exactly like that thing? That halacha, or don mina va okay ba'atra. Do we say we can learn the halacha from some other place, but when we get to the details of it, we're going to relate the details to itself. In other words, learn the details from its own. Okay, we basically have the question is, are we learning the okay? The whole question is the shtach pasim, right? The hanafa, the shtach pasim. La'achar shchita. Okay, we're learning it from, we know we learn it from the shamei yachid la'achar shchita. Okay, but the question is it going to be more similar to the shamei yachid la'achar shchita, or is it going to be more similar to the shnei kvasim lifnei shchita? Remember, which are done, like these are done whole, and the first ones are done parts, right? Only the certain parts of it. So that's going to be the machloket. So, don mina, Rabbanan Savre, don mina umina. We're going to learn it from the Shamei Yachid, so therefore we're going to learn it all the way. It's only done the way those are done, which mean only the parts. Mazibchei Shamei Yachid, tu'unim tnufa la'achar shchita. Just like Shamei Yachid needs tnufa after shchita. Afzibchei Shamei Tzibur, tu'unim tnufa la'achar shchita. Umina. Okay, so since we're learning that they need tnufa, these need tnufa after shchita, so therefore also the shnei kvasim we're going to need after shchita, and we're going to learn all the way. Uma hatam bechazev shok and the chelev, even though it doesn't say it. Afkan hachanami bechazev shok. Okay, the Rebbe Savar, no, don't mina, but okay, batra, learn from it, but derive the basic halacha from the shamei yachid, but learn the details based on itself. Right, we're going to learn that it needs after shchita just from the shamei yachid. But okay, ba'atra, but learn the details from its own. Hatam hu dechazev shok, aval hacha kimot shehen b'chayim. Right, we're going to do it just because shamei yachid chazev shok, but here we're going to do it just like we did it before shchita. That's one way of understanding the machloket, that it's based on, do we say don mina umina, or do we say don mina va okay ba'atra? Now we're going to see a different explanation. Rav Papa Amar, no. Dekule alma don mina umina. Who? Everybody thinks that you learn from it, all the details from it in general. Now what we're going to have to explain, why does Rebbe say then that you do it whole and not in parts? Hainu tama de Rebbe ki hatam. Rebbe's answer is like it, specifically here, it's going to be like it is here. Mahatam, and as we're going to learn it, we're going to learn it from Shamei Yachid, but we're going to learn the concept. What's the concept? What are the parts that get that get waived here. What are the parts that get waived in the Shalmei Yachid? Mahatam davar shem matana lekohen. The parts that go to the kohen, the chazev v'shok get waived. Av hacha, so in the shnei kvasim, la'achar shchita, what's going to get waived? Davar shem matana lekohen. And what goes to the kohen? The entire thing. So therefore, he's going to say, just learn, don't learn the details as the details are. Learn the details as to what the concept behind the details is. The concept is whatever goes to the Kohen, okay, in this case it's also to God because some of it gets burned, but let's ignore that part. That's why maybe it's all dealing with Chazev Ashok here. Since those parts of Chazev Ashok are gifts to the Kohen, also here, whatever's the gift to the Kohen should be waived. What's the gift to the Kohen? The whole thing. That's one explanation. Second explanation. Ravina's going to bring a third explanation. Ravina Amar de Kule Alma Dom Minava Oke Ba'atra. He says the opposite. Everybody thinks you learn the concept from Shalmei Yachid, but when you get to the details, you learn it out from itself, which is from the Shnei Kvasim. So now we're going to have to explain Rabbanan, who say it's only the Chazev V'Shok. Hainu Tamid de Rabbanan, Shalmehem Ribuyahu. When it talks about the waving of the Shalmei Yachid, it says Shalmehem. Because it says Shalmehem, it means only their Shlamim, and it comes to limit something else. And therefore, we're going to say it's, wait one second. Oh, no, my mistake. Wait. Shalmehem is, right. No, it says, Et chazeh ha-shtufa ve-et shok ha-truma lakachti me'epinei Yisrael mizivchei Shalmehem. Okay, and therefore, it's to say, right, it's to say, sorry, I started saying it wrong. Because by Shalmei Yachid it says Shalmehem, what's Shalmehem? What's the Rabim there? You could say Rabim means every, all the Shalmei Yachid. But what he says is it comes to include even the Shalmei Tzibor, which is the Shnei Kvasim. So therefore, since it says Shalmehem here, we're going to say that the way they do the Tzufah here is the way you do it there. Even though in general, we should learn it from the Shnei Kvasim itself. In this case, it's a unique halacha because of the word Shalmehem in the other place. Okay, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shlosha minim tu'unim shalosh mitzvot. Shtayim b'chol echad shlishit ein b'hem. Remember this, we said, ve'elu hein, zivchei shalmei yachid, zivchei shalmei tzibor, and asha metzora, and we're going to have two out of three apply to each one. Right? A, B, B, C, and A, C. Zivchei shalmei yachid, tu'unim smicha chayim, u'tnufa shkutim, ve'ein b'hem tnufa chayim. So remember the zivchei shalmei yachid, we just did this. They need, you do smicha when they're still alive. You do tnufa after they're shechted. And there's no tnufa when they're alive. Zivchei shalmei tzibor, right? The tzibor ones, the Shnei Kvasim, have tnufa chayim u'shchutim. You do them, they do the tnufa both when they're alive and after they get shechted. Ve'ein behem smicha, but there's no smicha. And asha metzora tu'un smicha u'tnufa chay. You have smicha and tnufa when they're alive, but ein bo tnufa shechut. Now they're going to basically raise questions. In each case, why is the third one not applicable? And why wouldn't you say, as we're going to, as if you've gotten the hang of this parak so far, why wouldn't we just say Kal v'chomer from one of the other cases? Okay? The use of Shalmei Yachid tu'unim tnufa chayim. Shouldn't you say Zivchei Shalmei Yachid should need tnufa also when they're alive? Mi Kal v'chomer, from a Kal v'chomer. How? Uma Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor she'ein tu'unim smicha chayim. If the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor don't need smicha, and yet they need tnufa chayim, Zivchei Shalmei Yachid she'tunim smicha chayim, ein odin she'tunim tnufa chayim. It's going to be obvious where they're going. They're always going to say, if the other one has this, which this one doesn't have, right, wouldn't you say, it's Kal v'chomer. So, since the Shalmei Yachid needs smicha, wouldn't you then say, since the Tzibor, the Shnei Kvasim, don't need smicha, and yet they need tnufa when they're alive, wouldn't you then say, if they need smicha, then all the more so, they should need smicha, tnufa when they're alive. So what do they answer? We're going to find a special mi'ud in the pasuk. Mi'eit rachman agavei zavchei shalmei tzibor, because it says in the pasuk, otam. What does it mean, otam? Them, just them. Otam le'mi'utei zavchei shalmei yachid. So therefore it comes to exclude. What will it exclude? Ah, shalmei yachid don't need. Okay, next one. V'yu zavchei shalmei tzibor tu'unim smicha mikal v'chomer. So why don't you say, the shalmei tzibor, the shnei pasim, should need smicha from a kal v'chomer. Uma zivchei shalmei yachid she'ein tu'unim tnufa chayim tu'unim smicha. Since the shalmei yachid, which don't need tnufa, and yet they need smicha, so wouldn't you think zivchei shalmei tzibor she'tu'unim tnufa chayim that you do tnufa when they're still alive? Ein odin she'tu'unim smicha. Wouldn't you then say they also need smicha? So Amar Ravina gemirei she'smichot b'tzibor. Ravina says no. We learn out that there's two, we have a, what does it mean we learn out? There's a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, that there's only two smichot for korbanot tzibur. Now here's an interesting thing. Rashi says, what are they? They are the parhelim davar shel tzibur needs smicha, and the si'ira m'shtalech, because it says, v'samacha haron et shtei yadav. Now this is a bit strange that he says this, because we're dealing here with Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon, right, one second. Right, Rabbi Shimon was the one who said this. Shlosha minim tunim shalosh mitzvot. And Rabbi Shimon, we're going to see later on in Sadi, I think, Beder Gimel, he says there that, if we actually refer back to this previously, a few tapim ago, that if you remember the Sanhedrin, where else do they do smicha? On the Si'irei Avodat Kochavim. If the Tzibur sins Dafkin of De Kochavim, right, the Sanhedrin taught something wrong about Avodah Zarah. They don't bring the Parlin Devar Shel Tzibur, that's for regular things. But if it's Avodah Zarah, they bring the Sirei Avodah Kochavim. And that's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. So why, it seems weird that according Rashi would duck a quote, the Sirei Mishtaleach, and not that case. And the question is, how could you say also there's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai about two things, right, two Korbanot Tzibur, and there's actually three, at least according to Rabbi Shimon. So I think that the Sirei Mishtaleach is not always considered a Korban. Sort of isn't, because it never gets sacrificed. So maybe because of that, that's why Rashi says it, I don't know, but maybe that's the debate, whether that's if you bring that one in, then you take out the Sirei Mishtaleach. It's not the Sirei Mishtaleach that needs, because it's true it needs smicha, but it's not necessarily considered a korban tzibur, because it's not a korban, because it just gets sent off to the midbar. Okay, and again, this is like a proof of how the Sirei Mishtaleach has this in-between status, because it's not exactly sacrificed. Okay, last one. Asha mitzora ta'un tnufa shachut mikal v'chomer. Why don't you say the asha mitzora needs tnufa once it's shechted from a kal v'chomer? Mazibchei shalmei yachid she'ein tu'unim tnufa chayim tu'unim tnufa shchutim. Just like there's shalmei yachid, which don't have tnufa when it's alive, and yet they have tnufa after the shchita. So asha mitzora she'ta'un tnufa chay, since it needs tnufa when it's alive, ein odin she'ta'un tnufa shachut, wouldn't you assume it needs tnufa when it's shechted? But it doesn't. So why? Again, we're going to have a mi'uf from the pasuk. So in two places we had a mi'uf from the pasuk. In the other place we had a reason because we have a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai that says otherwise. Okay, last braita. Tanu rabbanan chamisha sheviu korban echad. What if five people bring one korban together? Okay, they say together collectively we're going to share the money. Right, we're going to pool our funds, bring one korban. How do we do the hanafa? Echad menif al yidei kulam. One does for all of them. Vayisha, and here we have it explicitly. Kohen menif al yada. Okay, the kohen does it for her. V'chein hasholech korbanotav mimidiyat hayam. Kohen menif al yado. And if somebody sends it from abroad, also, right, he sends, I want someone to bring a korban for me, so the kohen does it for him. Again, this raises the same question, though. Are there two kohanim or not? Right, it seems like he's operating as a shaliach. The question is, would there then need to be another kohen doing the Kohen's job or not? And there's a debate about it.